Welcome to another episode of Fed Ninjas. We are here with our friend Bertie Green. I love to have him as our repeat guest. Bertie, how are you this morning?
Always a pleasure to be here with you guys, and looking forward to doing some guest hosting with you too. I have some great guests in mind.
So. I love it.
Very good. That's awesome, Bertie.
And I'll tell you what, since our last podcast, Bertie sent something that has absolutely freaked me out. And it's probably not new to the audience members, but it was really geeking me out. And that was AI and LM notebook. And I gave it a try. It's still geeking me out. So the long and short of it is, if you haven't used it, you can download a PDF, and that PDF will then be transcribed with two AI commentators, I'll call it, podcast hosts, if you will, and it will utilize your PDF in a way that it sounds like it's a real podcast. It blew my mind. And in my case, I just put up a flyer for a rugby tournament, and it was as if it was a sports announcer. It was blowing my mind. Anyway, I do digress.
Hey, by the way, Eric. Maurice, congrats on winning your rugby tournament, because I heard that your team won nationals. So congrats. That's huge.
Hey, thank
congrats,
you,
Maurice.
It was some fun. Some fun.
That's awesome.
But man, but what I got to get your thoughts. Bertie, you threw it out on our plate, and I didn't know what to expect, but
I think this one was Eric's, actually. Eric, how did you come across Google Notebook LM? I think you're the one who threw that on our radar last time, right?
I don't know. I can't remember, honestly. But what I did, I can tell you what I did with it. I ended up finding a document, and it took forever to parse it. However, the outcome of it was pretty amazing. It's, wow, they're going to replace us, which is actually okay, because this is more of a therapy session for myself. This is a full-on therapy session for myself. Probably some people listen to it, but thank you for those who do. But really, when I started doing podcasting, it was just to be able to share things that I had found, especially for federal cloud, on how to start that from a cloud service provider point of view, saying, okay, this thing is not so difficult to do. Yes, there's a lot of work involved, but here's the approach and here's the gap assessment, and then to figure out how to do it. Really being able to do a podcast and being able to share that information, I felt like I was giving value back. But really, us hanging out, it is a therapy session, really. But I guess if we have really good content and different topics, such as this one, I feel this topic is a good one. And the value that I can see is I ended up putting a document called FIPS 199 into the parsing engine of it, the ingest engine of it. And it sat there and churned forever. And I thought, oh, I broke it, or it's I'm going to have to redo it. And finally, it got done. It took 45 minutes, I think, because it's a huge document. But really, seeing what happened afterwards was pretty amazing, because there's a podcast host, there's a male voice and a female voice, and they analyzed this and they broke it down to the simplest common format that you could explain to anyone. And if you think about that, think of really technical people. When's the last time you talked to a very technical person and understood what the hell they were talking about? Probably never, because it's hard to be able to do that. Think about security awareness training, and you're getting people to understand things like phishing and how that works. If you were able to send them small snippets of podcasts that are maybe like 20 minutes or even 10 or 5 minutes that they're able to listen to and get something out of, then that is a huge value to them. They can understand it. They can understand how to apply to it in what they do as their position in the company, which is huge. And it's easier to do that than to be able to read a whole bunch of policies, because that's too hard for the human mind to be able to comprehend. One last thought on this too. When I got to college, it was a big shock. And so somebody told me, they said, look, when you're reading, read a little bit, read for 10 minutes, then get up, walk around, and then come back and start reading, and you'll be able to digest it. You'll be able to understand it, because I was reading and I was really panicking, like, I am not getting any of this. And so the human mind's able to comprehend small chunks. And then when you get up, walk around, look around at things, you're able to subliminally process it. I feel as a result that this is a really big thing, especially for training and being able to get people to understand very important concepts like in information security or anything else, especially things really technical, because it does break it down for a regular person to understand.
And Yes. Wow.
well, coming in from that was my whole field, even though I was in the field of HR, it was in the realm of learning and development and people development. And when I saw the first time I was working with this stuff, I thought, my goodness, we could have had snippet learning all day long for people in the biggest way. And to your point, I've done multiple day seminars. And after 15 minutes, if they're not engaged, you might as well call it quits. And
And
so,
imagine the challenge that you have, Maurice, someone like you engaging with a diverse audience and somehow making the whole audience be able to consume in the same way. That's such a challenge,
it is a
I imagine.
challenge because there's so many different learning styles. Some are more methodical by way of I need a lot more information. Some are much more from a social standpoint. Some are much more experimental in nature, or other, they just can't learn from a classroom. I have to have hands-on. And to your point, there are so many styles that you're dealing with, and this just made it. This makes it so it's almost a cheat code. It's re a reverse classroom. They get the knowledge first and then they come prepared with questions. And so there, I see so many uses for these new methods coming out.
Yes. I had a similar response to you, Eric, and how I adopted it since we decided to take on this little challenge of how can Notebook LM be used. I first built out some content for Clutch, the organization I was working for at the time. They wanted to get into podcasting. So I basically took all the URLs, because you can give up to 50 sources to these notebooks. And then within the 12 or 13 websites I gave it for Clutch, it provided a really great breakdown of who Clutch is, what their focus is, and all of that. So that can be podcast one, right? And so I was trying to basically share that you can guide this platform. There isn't a lot of customization. You give it the content, it spits something out. Now, as of this weekend, they added a new feature where you can actually say, here's the focus I want out of the content. That didn't exist when we agreed to go through this little experiment originally.
That's really cool. Marketing departments could really jump on this and then be able to gather and collect all of those things and build a lot of great marketing and also product services that their company is able to produce, and probably not realizing a lot of new opportunities also. I didn't even describe what FIPS 99 was. So it's security categorization in government environments of low, moderate, or high.
The other cool thing, actually, Eric, that I wanted to keep going on your education enablement thought there. A few friends of mine that I'm helping study up for different things, one of them has a side business where she basically is helping people with their EQ, how to be more emotionally intelligent and help sales, customer service, and all of that. So all of that was described qualitatively, basically. And so I shared with her how Net Promoter Score worked and things like that. So I took all this information about Net Promoter Score, customer retention, revenue retention, and then I took her website and I put it into Notebook LM. It created a podcast that contextualized all of these metrics and how her business helps with it. So it's the thing when we learn, we try to absorb something so we can be engaging and social with it. You called it a cheat code, and I totally agree. This enables you to be conversational, and then you can go back and learn a bit of the stuff to make sure you know enough behind it. And I feel like so many people want to sound like they are informed, and this really gives people the ability to do that. How would I communicate this with a normal human?
That's a huge point, because if people are communicating something, they see the value of it, but if they're not able to communicate it to other humans, they're not going to be credible at all. So I think that's a big part of it. And as your own self, you can look at that and find those gaps that you can get better at the communication of what you're trying to sell or deliver. That's very important.
Totally.
Man, I'm just blown away with all the resources that are coming out that will expedite the things that we do. I know there's a lot of fear of AI taking over. Matter of fact, I don't know if you folks saw that Beavis and Butthead Saturday Night Live skit where they initially started it with AI. It was an
Oh,
AI
hilarious. That sounds pretty
conversation.
cool.
It was pretty funny, but it did digress into something else. But the long and short of it was that the AI will rise up and take over. Fact of the matter is, what I'm seeing is if we can expedite ways that we can help each other. It's amazing the kind of avenues that it opens up. And I might be naive in my thinking, but that's the way I'm looking at right now. I'm interested in your take.
I would agree. Just real quick, it's like the printing press. People thought, oh, wow, we're not going to have all of these old antiquated things. Like, I'm really good at writing and using cursive and using a fountain pen or whatever they were using back then. Now the printing press is going to put me out of business, but in reality, it creates so many other jobs. But you have to embrace those new technologies. So I believe AI will increase our jobs and our automation. It's just being able to work with AI and understand it. Going back to the AI podcasters, if you add in things like gamification, because people like to play games or even mini games, or even be a person who is a subscriber into something, there was this app called Gas Buddy. It's still around, and you could put the gas prices near your area. It's been around for 15 or so years. And so people would have streaks where they would be able to put a gas price wherever they were traveling to, they would see it. And they would get a cooler looking little icon of a car, and they would be able to upgrade their car. And so people like to do, they just naturally like these games or gamified types of data. But if you were able to combine that with making your company better and providing these pieces of podcast material that people could understand and they're able to contribute as a sourced community, I think that's how you could make your company better, where everybody feels involved and they're a part of the solution of making security better in a company.
Therein lies the balance that we're automating something and there's a risk and a fear, paranoia, whatever, of automating something, losing the personal touch or the nuance required. And I think this is the important part is finding the balance. How do we leverage these tools to increase personalization, optimization, consumption of data, whatever it may be? So the human element's always going to be there.
Whenever there's disruptive technology, people are always like they could use it for good or for bad, like a car. You can use it to rob a bank, or you could use it to take somebody that's injured to a hospital. And so it's all about understanding and creating the proper rules for it. And with things like AI, it's don't put your own company secrets into it because you've lost control of the data. It's going somewhere else. You've lost it right then. It could be propagated anywhere. People could access it that are not authorized. And so it's understanding how to use AI properly in that same context. So people are always going to be the master over it. AI, I don't believe, is ever going to take over because we're going to be smart enough to be able to understand those concepts that we're using AI as assistive technology, not the other way around.
Ooh, an assisted
Agreed.
technology. I believe that would probably be the way that we ought to be looking at it, is an assisted technology instead of a takeover.
Technology, this has been around for a while, but typically we're allowing convenience and automation and we're adding a little bit of risk to it.
Whenever people do find convenience and ease of use and automation, they do typically lose a little bit of their risk to security. Like they have to be willing to part with some part of their own personal data to be able to make things easier. And so that when you agree to things that apps are doing, and you look and you're thinking to yourself, what's really going on in the back end when I agree to this? Do I really want to do it? A lot of times I end up saying, no, it's too much of a risk. I'm not going to do it. And a lot of people do that. Hopefully, most people look at it that way.
This may encourage people to care a bit more about their data, to have a bit more stewardship about what they do with their data. I was like, I'm sharing that I'm having a sandwich. What am I getting in exchange for this? I always viewed that as an exchange, and it was a weird thing to me. But now, as a security person, I do think about that exchange. And I think people will come around to that a bit more with how automated and basically all the things that AI can do, big data could do before. I feel like in general, AI is just more automated. So the exploit or the risk is higher, but it's similar dynamics to me as big data.
Yeah, especially when you can correlate and aggregate pieces of data, which people can do now. It's almost like a security information event management platform where you're ingesting all these things, you start correlating things, and you're able to build a profile for a person. And so when we were doing this long ago, going on Twitter saying, hey, I'm eating a sandwich downtown on 9th and whatever street, then we didn't really care. We're like, oh, this is cool. It's new technology. We can show people where we're at. Now we're going, well, if you put this together with other things, you might be able to find an opportunity to attack use social engineering to attack when I'm busy over here and steal some credentials or steal something of value.
Yeah.
I think it's important what you said about stewardship, going along with what Eric said about being careful what we put out there, because it can come out and bite you. And the reason that I say that is I do self-defense seminars for kids and for women's groups. And one of the things that I'll do is I'll go cyber stalk them. And what that cyber stalking will do, it'll give me every bit of information that I need to start a conversation with the individual. And if my intent was bad, it would have been a done deal. And so, given the advent of AI and all of these other tools, we do have to have that stewardship instead of just blindly sending stuff out there. I just look at the safety measures that we have to be aware of as these things. I think we're getting smarter on that, but in the realm of Instagram, Facebook, and all those other things that we can just say, "Hey, look at me." We really have to look at that stewardship piece of it to make sure that not only are we keeping ourselves safe, but everything around us that we hold dear safe.
That's one of the most important parts of this is human safety. If you think about it, and just dealing with some of the systems that I was lucky enough to be able to work with, like warfighter systems, that was a huge part of it, obviously, was protecting human safety. But even down to personal safety of regular citizens, that's very important because if you're posting where you're going on vacation, people could find you and attack you. And so, unfortunately, that's the way it is. And so, people are becoming smarter about doing that. And it's unfortunate, but it's something that people have to do.
When the internet became what it was, everyone had a voice. And so we're all going to exercise that voice. And we're only going to learn how that can reverberate back through that experience. So it's just human nature.
There's so many other topics that we could take off of these things. It's hard to believe that it started with a Realm LM notebook.
Oh, yeah. Maurice, I need to hire you for my personal MMA trainer, also. Hey, I'm pretty old, so I move slow. I need the help.
Remember, I'm still older and I'm slower, so
Keep forgetting that. I think I was thinking Maurice is younger than me, but we're pretty close to the same age, but he is slightly older.
no, this has been a good conversation, and we will need to take a look at not only that everything that we've been learning about things like LM Notebook, but given the things that we've just spoken about on safety and stewardship, and I think those would be worthy topics, future episodes. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. Data control, understanding what data is important and how you control it and how you control access and keep the important data internal.
Until next time, we will keep learning the things that are out there and bring it to you. Thank you for listening.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. See you
See you next
soon.
time. Thanks.